Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Tuesday. We got Tuesday, November 26th, here from our Tom Ford Tire Studios in Dorchester. Tuesday during the football season means one thing, Maz. You know what that is?
BBT. Big Boy Tuesday.
Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal, former offensive lineman for Ayer High. Where are you from?
He's from Sudbury.
Sudbury.
Time to put on your big boy pants.
Former 295-pound left guard from LS. Class of 1986.
No. Tackle.
Not even close on anything.
Tight end.
Did you play?
No. I mean, I didn't play at LS. I played in Florida.
So you played high school football?
A little bit.
What position did you play?
No.
Tight end and defensive end?
Yeah. No. He didn't play. He just tells people how to.
Exactly.
Anyway,
sort of like me with baseball.
I stand by the 295 part. He joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Two things to open up the program. Your thoughts on the Patriots, your thoughts on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last night. Where do you want to start?
I guess we'll start with the Patriots.
Start with the Patriots. How do you feel about your football team?
I think it's the weather made it so that it was tough to really get a gauge on anybody. You know, I thought we were robbed of a potentially a really good showdown between two talented teams, and it was all muddied up in the weather. I think that was a game Dallas should have won.
In what way? In what respect? Why do you say that?
Well, I think they're overall more talented across the board, and I thought that, you know, the Patriots, look, because of the score, that changes things, but look, they scored a touchdown off of the
block kick,
which, great play by Matt Slater, but the linebacker, that he just missed the block. It was one-on-one. He just didn't block Slater. So that was an error. Then the Gilmore interception was very nice play by Stephon Gilmore, but a horrible route by Amari Cooper. He faded the route, gave Gilmore an opening. Terrible, lazy throw by Dak Prescott. And so that was 10 points right there. And then there was the whole Bill Belichick basically pantsing Jason Garrett in terms of special teams. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Up and down the field, offense, defense. Game was even or even
pretty
slight
even.
Edge? Yeah.
I mean, I give Dallas a slight edge. I think that, you know, it, mostly from watching the film, I just got angry about how poorly coached the Cowboys are. I mean, I was texting back and forth with Greg Cassell from NFL Films to see if what I was seeing sort of lined up with him, because he watches the Cowboys all 22 more than I do. And he said this, arguably that's a top three most talented offense in the league.
If the Cowboys had a clue, they win that game 10-3.
I mean, what I didn't understand, and I got into an argument with some Cowboys fans on Twitter, is I'm watching the Cowboys and crappy weather, all that stuff. Why is Dak Prescott in the shotgun so much? Like, they do some good stuff with the pistol. That's fine. That's almost like, you know, being in an I formation under center, sort of. They did some nice stuff there. But Dak Prescott, that is not his strength. And they'll be like, oh, well, his yards per attempt is awesome in the shotgun. And yeah, but you're not beating anybody. So your offense is not effective. Like, you scored 10 points against the Saints. You scored 9 points against the Patriots. Two of the best teams that you've played on the schedule, you haven't beaten anybody with a winning record. So I don't care how many shotgun yards you're getting against the Eagles or whoever. Like, it's just not right. If you look at that team, they have one of the best offensive lines in football. I mean, it's not what it used to be, but it's still pretty close. You have one of the best running backs in the league. You have a good quarterback, but this is where a lot of these teams make a mistake, and it's the Rams. I'm sure we're going to get into this. You know, they fall in love with these guys. Jared Goff cannot be, he's not a shotgun spread quarterback. He's not. He has to be under center. You have to define throws for him. And Dak Prescott is the same way. He might make some plays out of script, but in the construct of a real NFL offense, Dak Prescott needs to be under center with Ezekiel Elliott behind him. It needs to be a power running team, and then everything else runs off of that. It's not Dak's show. It's not. It's Zeke's show. It's the offensive line show. And until the Cowboys realize that, they're going to keep losing all these games.
This game, you're like, Maz, yesterday, this is more about Dallas than New England
yes.
in that game.
I mean, I'm not saying that the Patriots deserve to lose or they played poorly or they're not good. I couldn't really tell any of that stuff. I mean, I thought defensively they played fine. You know, I don't, you know, certainly wasn't one of their, you know, shutdown great games where I'm, you know, I have all these impact plays. Like, there weren't a whole lot. And a lot of that, it was the way that they played Prescott, which was, you know, we'll slow play him, keep him in the pocket. You know, I think, you know, you always, when the Patriots go against somebody, and I heard this from a smart NFL coach once, they're like, I wish we played the Patriots early in the season, because then you get an accurate reflection of where your team is. Because Belichick is going to hit all the weaknesses. He's going to try to hold down your strengths. And so the way the Patriots played the Cowboys told me that they're like, Dak can't win the game from the pocket all game against us. That's what they want to do. Keep him there, make him shotgun spread, try to, you know, figure out where the coverages are going to be, who's going to come over. That's not the strength of his game.
Any movement for the Patriots offensively?
No.
Status, not at all?
Status is quo.
I mean, look, you know, and I wrote this about this the other day. Win, improve the team, but you can't take this performance against Dallas and say, oh, well, now they can run the ball. No, it's the Cowboys. They have an undersized, aggressive front. And so what did you see the Patriots do? You did what you expected them to do, which was we're going to a bunch of wham blocks and let guys run through, and then we're going to run through the gaps. I mean, it was textbook Patriots at the end of last season against an undersized front and people who aren't disciplined.
Okay, but Craig, they played Washington earlier in the year, and Washington's run defense sucks, and they couldn't run. So don't you think the Patriots showed a little more in this game offensively?
No,
you don't. You clearly don't.
Washington? Seriously? When did they play Washington? How long ago was that?
No, I'm just saying when they played Washington, they couldn't run the ball. The Patriots couldn't
run the ball against anybody this year.
Okay. So the fact that
why are you bringing out the Redskins?
Because you just said Dallas is vulnerable to the run.
Yes, and so, I said going into this game, I said if you can't run the ball against Dallas,
you're not connecting the dots. The dots are Washington was also bad against the run, but the Patriots couldn't run against them. Dallas is bad against the run, but the Patriots did run against them. So doesn't that suggest that the Patriots have improved?
I can't tell you that. I mean, you didn't give me pregame. I would need to go watch the tape. It's so long ago, I don't remember that game. You know, so I can't tell you why they didn't run the ball well in that game. There could have been injuries. I don't know. I don't know offhand. But I could just tell you, I mean, they have been able to run at times. But I said, going into this game, I said, if the Patriots can't run against Dallas, they should shelve the running game for the entire season. This was a game that they had to run.
Greg Bedard in our Town Fair Tire Studios at 617-779-0985. Tie it together to what you saw last night. Patriots Ravens, and have the Ravens made even another step in their development?
Ravens are the best team in the AFC. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Now
they're the best team in the AFC.
They are. They beat the Patriots, and they've only rolled since then. So why wouldn't they be?
Patriots Ravens tonight. You got the Ravens.
Yep.
Me too.
No question.
I mean, too.
If they played tonight, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Patriots Ravens tonight. Who do you got, Murray?
Where's it being played?
Well, I guess it's in Foxborough.
Patriots.
If it's in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
I'll take the Ravens either place.
You'll take
tonight.
Make it easy. I mean, to me, the best way to do it is, who do you think's playing better right now? Put them on a neutral field.
Yeah, neutral field, Murray.
Ravens.
Oh, Ravens.
Ravens are playing better right now.
Explain. Discuss.
They are absolutely unstoppable offensively at the moment. Unstoppable. And the Patriots, so now the Patriots have a terrific defense, so they will mitigate that. But Baltimore's going to probably at the moment get close to 30. I'm not sure the Patriots are doing that against the Ravens. Not with their offense in the state that it's in today, tonight, wherever, okay, or whenever. Now, 5 weeks from now, talk to me. But I got to see some improvement in the Patriots and some vulnerability in the Ravens before I change my mind.
And defensively, I can't believe how much of a difference that they have made.
Yes, that's the key.
Yeah. Like, and adding Marcus Peters, I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal because he had been getting burned in L.A. for the last, well, really like the last calendar year. And since he joined the Ravens, been playing a lot of man, it's allowing them to rush the passer more. They didn't have much of a pass rush prior to that. They're so much better on that side of the ball.
That's where the difference is. I mean, they are, I mean, look, you know, they went to Seattle 130-16. Then they come out of the bye week. We saw what they did to the Patriots. And you can make all the arguments you want about the Edelman fumble and this and the swing and this and that. That's fine. But the Ravens controlled that game throughout the game. The Bengals, they wiped the floor with them. Houston at home 41-7. And then they go to the Rams and beat them 45-6. I mean, how do you do any better than that? I mean, you can't. So they're the best team in the league right now.
Why can't I just get out of my head that Lamar Jackson isn't just another flavor of the month?
Well,
I mean,
he might be, though.
You know, he's the next, it's not flavor of the month. It's like every 5 years, 10 years, someone comes around like this, changing the game, can't stop him, force of nature, and then they end up not going somewhere or getting hurt, which is a bigger picture story. But why can't I, like, and I don't mean to make this a black quarterback thing. I don't, but I mean, Randall Cunningham, we talked about him the exact same way. Michael Vick, we talked about him the exact same way. We, you know,
Kaepernick,
RG3, you know, yep. So we've had this here. Why is he any different? Like because I took the cheese. I told you the last wave with Robert Griffin and Kaepernick. I said, okay, this style of plays here, and this is taking over the league, and this is for real. And it wasn't. So why is it for real now? Why is he any more real than any of those other guys?
There's a few things, and my number one reason, and you're going to roll your eyes, but it's the truth, it's Greg Roman. See, you're going to roll your eyes.
I'm joking.
But no, look at the difference between Lamar Jackson from last year to this year. Do you think he just learned to be more accurate overnight or learned how to run better or that offense suited, you know, all
of a
sudden?
Well, the running, I mean,
to me, it's a simple thing, and maybe this relates to Roman, maybe it doesn't. He's more accurate than those other guys. To me, it's that simple.
Yeah, but it's he just didn't become more accurate overnight. I mean, look, the Chargers, and I want to go back and watch the film because I actually think I should have done that before the Patriots played them because I think it was a mistake the way the Patriots played them. If you watch the way the Chargers played them, they had to play them in sub with a bunch of smaller, quicker guys because they didn't have any linebackers, and that's what the Patriots used against the Chargers the following week to pummel them with the running game. It worked against the Ravens. They could keep up speed-wise. And all of a sudden, the Patriots come this year.
And they went big.
Maybe Belichick was sandbagging a little bit. Maybe he just wanted to see. But, yeah, they went big. They had all these linebackers on the field, and they look slow and on a different page. Maybe the next time around, I think you're going to see a lot of Patrick Chung in the box, a lot of Terrence Brooks in the box, like a lot of defensive backs, because I think that's the way you have to play them. There are some X's and O's things that we can get into, but, you know, he didn't just become accurate overnight and over the course of the offseason. It's a couple things. Number one, they get to play the game on their terms. They're getting out ahead and they can do whatever they want. Then it's Greg Roman, the way he defines things. He did it for Kaepernick. He did it for Tyrod Taylor. He's doing it for Lamar Jackson. I mark the tape. If Greg Roman leaves, which he'll get a head coaching job because of this, and say Harbaugh puts in Marty Morningweg or some other old school West Coast guy, who Morningweg was the offensive coordinator last year, and they don't know how to use this type of talent, Lamar Jackson is going to flame out. He is not going to be anywhere near MVP level.
Okay, Billy, you mark that tape. We're talking football with the big boy. Join us. Your thoughts on the Patriots. Greg says no movement, no real movement offensively in that Cowboys game. Do you agree or disagree?
The whole 13 points.
And is Lamar Jackson any different than some of these guys we've seen come through in the past, taking the league by storm, and then what? Then what? 617-779-0985. To you right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Tom, you've been frustrated the past few weeks with the offense basically all year long. The Patriots have now won two straight games while scoring 17 points or fewer. The last time that happened, Tom, is when the Patriots did it back in December of 1988. Where do you go with this from here? And is your level of frustration compounded or is it starting to diminish?
I think there's a lot of different emotions that I have over the course of the year. And I think part of it is just processing those emotions and dealing with them and putting them in the right place. I hope my emotions never affect my preparation for the next game, but I think they can help refocus as well. So I've been a veteran leader on our team for a long time, and I think it's my responsibility to, you know, embrace the challenges, talk to my teammates about things that, you know, I wish we would do a better job of or things we can focus on to help us have more margin of error, because that game yesterday was close. And had we executed better in a few areas, it wouldn't have been as close.
So that's Brady's that kind of non-answer on his frustration level from last night with Jim Gray. What should his frustration level be, big boy? Should he be frustrated? Should it be less, more? Where should it be? I mean, because last week you said he was justified in his frustration. Last week at the Philly game.
Yeah, I mean, look.
How about this week?
I mean, they are what they are. This week they didn't have Sanu and they didn't have Dorsett. So they're even worse. But look, there's no getting away around it. This offense is extremely limited. You know, and that's not going to change. I mean, can they get better each week? And you hope the blocking gets better and you hope win gets better.
Why do you say it's not going to change? If
Harry, they are who they are.
Okay,
they,
Greg, shouldn't N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers get better? And shouldn't win get progressively better to the point where he's protected better? They can run it a little better. And those guys are, instead of dropping, you know, whatever, three of those four attempts last night, they get three of those four attempts. I mean, that's not a... Is that an unreasonable expectation by me?
No, but answer me this. Man-to-man press coverage. It's third and five. Man-to-man press coverage against a good, above-average defense.
Yeah, put someone in motion.
Who's...
put someone in motion and stack them so you can't chuck them off the line. What? Why are you getting so...
Don't change the subject, okay? You're getting into nonsense, all right?
No. You
scheme it up.
No.
That only goes so far, and teams can adjust to that. Just bear with me, okay? Answer this. Don't talk about motion.
I'm talking about coach.
Five, big spot, man-to-man, shotgun, empty. Who's getting open?
Okay, Edelman gets open.
And they double Edelman.
Okay.
Who's getting open?
Sanu and Harry.
In 2.3 seconds.
I smell you. Harry and Sanu don't necessarily need to be wide open because they have size. And if Tom puts it there, you can body a guy, position a guy, etc. I'm not telling you it's ideal. I'm not telling you if guys wide, you know, running wide open all over the place. But my initial answer, which frustrated you, was coach it up, scheme it up, and secondly, use the big bodies of some of the guys that you have.
That's a tough way to make a living, and Tom Brady knows that. Their margin for error is like nil, and it's a grind. I mean, if they have to go 80 yards up and down the field every time, if they don't get punt block, interception, all this stuff, ooh, the Patriots offense is like fifth in the league in scoring. Yeah, that's because they don't have to drive a full field. You know, I mean, the defense is making them viable right now. If they run into a team that's capable on offense and good on defense, they're going to have issues. Now, am I telling you that they can't win? No, but it's hard, and Tom has a right to be frustrated. It didn't need to be this hard.
Oh, they tried. I mean, they tried, and they failed. So if he just quit crying about it, quit whining about it, and put his mind to it and kept working at it, I'm telling you, I've been saying it all year. They will be fine. They will be fine offensively. They will have a couple of offensive games either still to go here down the stretch or in the playoffs where they go toe-to-toe with the big offense, where they put 30 on the board against Kansas City or go in the high 20s against Baltimore and win. And everyone's going to go, see? And I'm going to sit here and say, see what? I've been telling you this from day one. If Brady just worked with these guys and stuck with it, that you'll be fine. Between the coaching and the talent that they have, they'll be fine.
Only
I still
think
that. Only
against a poor defense. Only against like a Kansas City or somebody like that. Yes, they can do that. But against a team that they're going to have to... Could they do, with this year's unit, could they do what they did in the Super Bowl last year?
Yes. Score 13 points, of course. Hell yeah. Yes.
Against that defense last year?
Yep. Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. Can this offense score 13 points? Yep. Against anybody. They can put up 13 against anybody. Yes. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. So let's mix in your thoughts as well. Danny in Rhode Island on this topic. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Two quick things. First, Bedard, you made the point that the Patriots need to play small against the Ravens in order to contain Lamar Jackson. I thought they addressed that this offseason by signing Mark Ingram. They got a lot of tight ends. I mean, the Patriots are horrible against the run this year.
No, it's valid. It's a valid point.
And then secondly, do you think one of the issues with the young receivers is that they will not go to TB12, so that's why Brady refuses to work with them? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm always willing to entertain that. I think the bigger thing is that they drop the ball, and they aren't where Brady expects them. And so I think that – I would hate to think that other thing creeps in. It might, but I don't know. We can see it. We can see Myers running the wrong way or Harry dropping a ball on the sidelines, and I think Brady starts and ends with that.
Oh, definitely. Look, Myers even had a catch on third down against the Cowboys where I think he was in the wrong spot. He and Edelman ended up in the same place. Aikman pointed it out on the broadcast. Now, Myers caught it, but I don't think the ball was necessarily intended for him. But, Greg, my only point, you know, with regard to the offense and where they are is that I'm not sure they have to get much better. Their defense is good.
That's fine. It's valid.
So, like, we'll see how it shakes out. I'd feel a hell of a lot more comfortable in the AFC title game if it's here against Baltimore.
I'd be stunned if it doesn't get better. I'd be stunned. Unless Brady shuts these guys out and he goes south. But if he just does what he usually does or should do and runs the offense and sticks with the young guys, it doesn't have to be young guys, just sticks with enough of the options that are given to him, whether it's Dorsett or Sanu coming back or whatever. He just doesn't have a two guys that he's throwing to. As long as he sees the field and runs the offense, those kids should get a little better. Wynn should help a little bit. Sanu, all that should contribute to them getting better. I never said they'll be great, but to be better and certainly good enough to support this defense, I think. Brett in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Brett.
Hey, Phil, quick off, talking about drops. Edelman's dropped 5 passes in the last 2 games, but I wanted to talk about how nasty the Ravens are. You know, their running game over 200 yards a game. You know, that puts them right up to the red zone. I mean, 5 touchdowns last night, get only through for 186 yards. Patriots need to win out. We need that game at home.
Someone just said to me in the hallway, this is this year's Kansas City. I mean, every year there's a team like this, right? Oh, look at that offense. Oh, you can't stop them. They're unstoppable. Look at this. Like, every year there's that team. And, you know, you can make the case that no one ever really stopped Kansas City.
No.
Kansas City put 38 on the board again, or whatever it was, in the AFC title game. By the end of it, you weren't stopping Kansas City either, but you prevailed. But, the Ravens are taking on that form. It's a little different because it's running. And the quarterback is certainly different than the past, but every year there's a team like this. Year before it was the Rams, and you know there's just always a team like this that you can't stop them, and then someone stops them.
Except they have a good culture and a good organization in terms of identity, and they have a coach who's won. So I hear you. I'm not typically not impressed by the high flying offenses. I just don't think that this is necessarily the same thing. Most of those high flying offenses, you can kind of crack across the face and that's it. And then they stop. I don't think that works with this team.
We continue.
I don't think they're unstoppable.
I'm sorry, Greg.
I mean, I don't think there's any offense that's unstoppable. And, you know, Belichick will be, I'm sure he's watching them every week and is chipping away at what he's going to do. And he's going to have a plan. Now, the caller did make a good point about, you know, the Ravens are different than they were last year, so it's harder to go smaller on them. But I still might take my chances there because you got to find a way to match speed with speed. You can't just get in a slugfest with these guys. But I have full confidence that the Patriots the next time around will be better. I just don't know if the offense will be good enough unless the defense helps them out.
Okay, more on the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, more on the state of the Patriots with Bedard after we go 3-up, 3-down after Murray's update.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Now, it's time for 3-Up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, Greg's gone over the game film. He's got his clipboard, courtesy of Scott in Maine. He's ready to go. Maz is ready from his purchase. Was it?
Go ahead, Maz, say it again.
I said, is Maz.
Yeah. I grade.
Drops it out there.
I grade from memory.
He's sitting there on his perch, ready to chirp. That's okay. So we're all basically coming from the same place. Here we go. Three up, three down from the Greg, from the game. Sorry, what's your first star, Greg?
Julian Edelman. He was basically the passing offense, and that diving catch late was just terrific and basically clinched the game.
Yeah, he didn't even make my top three. I went Stephon Gilmore number one. I thought Gilmore was the best guy on the field on Sunday. Completely took Cooper out of the game. Everything the Patriots can do on defense is predicated by putting Gilmore most of the time on the best receiver on the other side. I thought he was dynamite.
Second star, Greggy.
Gilmore. You know, I thought he was really good, but you know, I wouldn't go overboard.
Well, thank you. Why do you say, are people going overboard?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, they're talking about like, you know, like Maz here talks about how Stephon Gilmore is the whole key to the defense. And no, I think even if he was out for the year with an injury, I think they'd be okay. That's how good they are in the secondary. But I mean, look, he gave up a reception, got called back on an iffy holding call, and then Cooper dropped that ball over the middle. So it wasn't like he didn't give up anything.
Who is the key to the defense?
Who is the key to the defense?
Yep. If Gilmore's not the key to the defense, who is?
I don't think anybody is. I think they're so deep that they could like.
So list them. So right. So they could lose.
I think
any,
my MVP of the defense.
Say it.
Down to down.
Say
Van Noy.
Oh, I thought you were going.
No,
Lawrence
no, no,
Guy.
It's Van Noy.
Fine. I'll take that. But for sure, I thought he was going to give me Guy.
I just think they have certain guys that are indispensable. That if they were to lose Gilmore, who can cover the top receiver on the other team 1-on-1 the whole game?
Well, no one. But I mean, between Jonathan Jones and what else they have
back
there,
they would make it work.
I think they'd make it work.
Yep.
So again, no one. Your initial answer was no one.
Well, yeah, no, but that doesn't mean that this isn't like Aaron Donald or. You know, name it. Like, I don't think it's one of those kind of defenses. I think they're greater than the sum of their parts. You've said it all year. When name the Hall of Famer they have on the defense.
Oh, I don't think they have a Hall of Famer, but I think Gilmore is good.
Oh, he's really good, but I don't think they're built around a singular star.
And the other thing about Gilmore the other night is Cooper just checked out. I mean, did you see him after the interception? Like, the body language? I mean, you know, the miserable weather, he didn't want to be out there. He checked out. And we all know Stephon Gilmore's primetime. If the lights are on, Gilmore's on.
Okay, second star, Maz.
I went with Sony Michel. And I'm not telling you that.
Oh.
I did.
Wow.
I thought Michel ran well in this game. I thought he ran hard. I thought he ran to space. He made some good cuts. And so, again, was it a Hall of Fame performance? No. But for a team that has been without a running game, I thought it was important. I thought he was good.
Third star, Greggy.
Joe Tooney. Almost just about perfect. I had him for one stuffed run, and that was iffy. Other than that, he was perfect. He's been incredible this season.
How many plus plays did you have him for, Miss?
Tooney?
Yeah.
One less than Ted Karras, who was my third star.
Wow.
And I picked a fat guy just for Bedard.
No, he had a good game.
I did it just for Bedard. I actually thought Karras was better in this game than he's been most, and I think that's part of the reason they were able to run
it
the ball.
It helps when you're uncovered most of the time.
Okay, whatever.
Yep.
It worked.
Good job, Maz. Way to make Greg happy. Three down. Who's your number one dud for the Patriots?
Dietrich Wise. Played five plays, had that completely idiotic roughing the passer penalty that really could have hurt this team. He's lucky he wasn't cut on the spot by Belichick.
The week before, the key hands to the face.
Oh my God.
I'm surprised if he's in uniform next week, honestly.
Maz being Maz, talking out his ass, also goes with Dietrich Wise. he was useless. He get on the field and make a stupid penalty 2 weeks in a row.
Blind score.
See you later. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Second dud there, Greg.
Byron Cowart played three plays and got run over.
So we're picking on a guy who played five plays and three plays.
Well, I mean, I'm going by percentages.
Oh, so that's not
bad. You know, I don't want, you know, if a guy plays 58 snaps and he's only bad on two of them, kind of weighs out.
N'Keal Harry. I'm sorry. Wow. I love the touchdown, too. You got to catch the other two balls. The one in particular on the sideline that hit him in the belly. If you can't catch that one, you don't belong in the league. Okay, so I'm sorry. I know the touchdown was a nice play. The one down by the pylon was a tougher catch. The one on the sideline, that can't happen. That's a joke. Like, the Patriots didn't waste a first-round pick to end up with Braylon freaking Edwards. You got to make that catch.
That's a good comp.
Third dud.
Shaq Mason.
Has to pain you.
A week after, you know, he was great last week. This week, allowed four run stuffs. That's like, he had 15 all of last year. He had four in this game, which is his most and at least the past two seasons. I don't know what to think of it anymore.
Jake Bailey, robo punter, looked like the Tin Man being left out in the rain. He had a crap game, his worst game as a Patriot. So, look, I love Bailey. I'm not telling you I want to get rid of him or anything of the like. He's had a hell of a year. He should probably be the punter in the Pro Bowl for crying out loud, or All-Pro, whatever. But to me, in this game, he did not really help the cause all that much.
Greg, back to the receivers. You were concerned with what you saw from N'Keal Harry week one against Philly. No burst, you know, wasn't open. Was it any better this game? What'd you see out of him and or Myers? Give me a little scouting report.
Not really. I thought Myers was open a bit more. I thought Myers might have run a couple wrong routes. Harry, there were a couple times that he was open that Brady went to the other side of the field. But, you know, look, I know he is what he is, you know, but this offense just needs more. They need more than a post-up boundary, back shoulder, high point receiver, in my opinion. I know you don't think. You want as many 5-flat, 220-pound, 6-foot-4 receivers as possible.
Oh, they don't even need to be 6'4".
But I just, you know, look, he's fine, you know, but he's a rookie, and obviously Brady doesn't want to go to him all that much.
I'll tell you, I'll take the high pointing alone right now if he can give me that. Like you say, they need more than that. Just make the high point catches, and I'm happy. Like that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but will Brady throw those? That's the thing, and that also gets into the whole James White discussion about why, you know, his production.
Okay, so why was James White de-emphasized in this game?
I don't think he was de-emphasized, and I think because I was texting with somebody who knows, and they told me. I said, "What's the deal with White?" And they said, "Because Gronk isn't there anymore, and with Gronk, they needed to not only put normally two people on him, but normally a safety." And they would put a linebacker on White, so he would be the matchup all the time. Now, because there's no threat at tight end, and you could, you know, cover Ben Watson with Murray, now White gets the small defensive backs. He gets the cornerbacks, the safeties, and all that. And so now
the mismatch is the tight end, but the tight end can't win the mismatch, and White's got the better cover guy on him.
Correct. And it also goes to, you know, when Brady would see a linebacker on White, it's a green light. No matter, say the linebacker's 5 yards away and closing, Brady's like, he's not going to get there in time. I can get out to White. Now, if there's a defensive back there and he's 5 yards off, all of a sudden Brady thinks, all right, this guy might jump the route and go the other way. And so it's not working right now.
Okay, so there's your three up, three down, your film review. Get your thoughts on that. Again, thoughts on the Ravens. I do want to weigh in on a Rob Gronkowski comment from the weekend that we missed yesterday about the Patriots and fun and that whole thing. We'll do it all next in our long commercial-free segment.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No.
Yes!
No.
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's so frustrated too, and it's like, yo, like, you guys are 9-1. That's the one part I don't miss about being there, hands down. I'm not gonna lie, I don't miss that. You're frustrated. They're 9-1. They win a game last week versus Philly. We lost them in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They should be happy. Instead, you're sitting there Sunday night like, what did I do wrong? Like, no, that's not the feeling that you should have. You should be pumped about the win. No matter, yeah, you might have not put the offensive numbers that you put up, but you won the game. Enjoy it. Go out the next week and build off of it.
All right, let's hit on this thing and back to the phones. You know, I was making fun of Gronkowski yesterday because the part of the Fox Post game show that I saw, he gave you the stellar insight that they did what they had to do, and sometimes you just have to do what they have to do, and when you do what you have to do, sometimes that's how you win. You do what you have to do. I was like, oh my God, this is just so ridiculous. I guess I missed this, which was actually some real insight, okay? Now, here's how I feel about it. Man, oh, poor Rob. Ooh, poor Rob. You couldn't take off your shirt and sippy, sip, sip and rub your nipples after every win. You had to go back to work. Oh, Tuto. Oh, Jabuda. Oh, ma. Oh, I know. You wanted to do keggers and rub your nipples against each other and, like, do keggers after every win.
His own nipples or someone else's?
Yeah, no. It's like, oh, okay. This is a piece of the Belichick program that I've always loved and I have no problem with, and you've never heard me criticize it, I don't think. I think they go a little overboard with their media obsession and finding guys for saying the wrong thing like that. Yep. I've criticized them for. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing about stick your nose back down, get back to work. We're not going to overreact to wins, and we're going to pick you apart even in victory, and it's not going to be fun. Let's have fun. It's never been about that, and I've always loved that.
Totally agree with you.
Always loved it, and maybe it's because I've done some reading about the Lombardi era and everything and how those guys from the Lombardi era hated Lombardi when they played for him. Hated him. Mm-hmm. But almost to a man, they got out of football and went on with their lives and became professionals and other things because they had to in those days because they didn't make enough money playing football. And to a man, they said, what I am as a person today is about what I learned during that time under Vince Lombardi and those lessons that we learned there. And I hated him at the time, and I hated the thing at the time, but it's who we were. It's how I became what I became, and it built me as a man, blah, 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 like all that thing. I've always bought into that, and I've always loved that about Belichick's program. So I'm sorry, Rob, that you couldn't do a wet T-shirt contest after every victory. You had to show up on Monday, and yep, you'd be criticized for running the wrong route. Tough. I've always liked that about Belichick's program.
Completely agree. I mean, look, this professional sports is not fun. This is your job. And be thankful that you don't have to be like the Lombardi-era Packers and actually have a real job in the offseason just so you could play football in the falls. And the other thing, like, I understand it's a grind. And I understand it's tough to play for Belichick, but this is the reason why the Patriots are the way they are. The way they, they don't sit around and pat each other on the back, but, wow, we did a great job for like 3 days.
Right.
No, you get to celebrate that night, then it's on to the next week because there's always another game. And the other thing is, and I say this with Brady too about, his offseason stuff, you have from February 5th until July 24th to do whatever you want.
Sippy,
really.
Sip, sip, Robbie. You've got something that most of us don't have, which is five, unless you're a school teacher, but then you don't even get the offseason you get to go sippy, sip, sip and do your, mud wrestling or whatever it is.
Felder's visual of like what Gronkowski does away from the field. I need somebody to paint me a picture.
Well, all your bro-heme nonsense, okay? You can bro out for 5-6 months a year, but for the 3 or 4 you're playing football, yes, even after you play well, you're going to have to show up on Monday, and they're going to show you the things you did wrong so you can get better the next week and keep your head screwed on straight. And that crap works, as far as I'm concerned. And I hope that, Bill will never change, nor should he. I hope somehow the next guy can capture just a sliver of it. Because, boy, is it important. And, boy, do I not care whether, fun. The whole fun thing. Murray, me and how the full.
I know.
Fun and happiness is kind of elusive to begin with.
Don't you think Bill has softened a little?
This whole thing about chill Bill and sort of chasing the locker room back after the Malcolm Butler decision, I understand we've gotten into that a little bit.
I think he has a little.
Okay.
I'm not saying a lot, a little, but
something
this is
tells
also
me
why he wanted to trade Gronk's ass 2 years ago.
There's more days off, that's for sure. Clearly the camps are lighter, practice loads are lighter. I don't know if there's any more Victory Mondays than they're having. I think it was for the first was 2 weeks ago. So I don't know in the season if he's given more time off. But something tells me Monday, when that film goes on, that's still a tough room. Something tells me, I hope all of a sudden it's not sippy, sip, sip there on a Monday, Rob. Like, wee, look at how good you are here. Something tells me that's still not what's going on there. I get the sense you still show up Monday and it's what you did wrong and how do we get better? At least that's what I hope it is. But the whole thing's not about fun. Fun's an elusive fun, happiness. That's all a tricky little bugger there, isn't it? That's a tough thing to chase. Why don't you start with, hard work and trying to accomplish something and then see how you feel about that at the end of it, and then maybe you're happy through that. But if you're just chasing happiness, then, I don't know. I think people miss the mark on that. This is obviously I've spread that into a bigger philosophical conversation, but the Gronkowski thing, it's just about fun, I don't know. You're not satisfied or gratified or fulfilled by the work you put in and what you accomplished there in New England? Like, isn't that a far more substantial and real and lasting feeling than whatever it is you're talking about there? Sippy, sip, sip? Like, come on.
That's for the sipping.
It was his nonsense video that he put out last week with the
part of his Super Bowl
good
beach
Gronk,
party.
Bad Gronk, just the usual nonsense, the bro-heme nonsense. You know, like, really, you're more into that than what you accomplished in New England? And, yeah, it was hard. That's the whole point. That's what makes it satisfying. That's what the accomplishment is. You put that into it. And so, like, I got no use for that. I also think he's combining the Brady unhappiness with how hard it is down there. And he's getting on Brady in the middle of that, where Brady's thing is different. And I still can't tell you exactly why Brady's, been such a baby about the whole thing. But I think Brady's lack of enjoyment's different than what Rob is talking. Rob got unhappy here because of the atmosphere, right?
Yeah, Brady got upset, and, we've written about it. It's a whole accumulation thing since the Atlanta Super Bowl. Where it's just like, does it really need to be this hard? From the no contract extension, not trading Garoppolo, the Guerrero stuff. Like, then,
the direction of the offense.
Exactly.
So, but that's not... See, Brady, to me, feels like he can more than handle...
Oh, yeah.
...showing up on Monday and it being a tough atmosphere.
No, in fact, he's probably one of the contributing factors. Ask the young receivers about it.
Yeah.
He's as hard on the young receivers as Brady, as Belichick is on anybody else.
So I think Brady is totally fine with Bill's atmosphere that Gronk didn't like, because Gronk wanted on Monday apparently to shoot porn videos and mud wrestle and do his bro-heme keg stander crap.
Sippy sip.
Okay, sippy sip sip. I think Brady was fine with that thing. Brady's upset about what you said.
Yeah.
Contract, Guerrero, direction of the offense, not being appreciated by the
team.
Why
are you busting my, incentives and all. Why are you busting my balls over every single thing?
And somewhere in there is, why, Bill, do you have to keep treating me like a rookie? But that's way down on the list.
Yes.
Yeah, I think if all those other things were there, he could take the demanding nature of Bill Belichick.
I think the building block for the whole thing is the contract. They didn't give him an extension. He wants to play till he's 45, and they didn't commit to him. So then everything else becomes a bigger deal than it really is, because at the base of the whole thing is, I have given you everything for 18 years. Everything. I've given you wins at the negotiating table. I've let you saddle me with crap bag receivers for a good chunk of the time that we've been here. All of it. I have been willing to do all of it. I have now told you I want to play till 45, and you won't give me more than 1 year at a time. So I'm not even asking for big dollars in those years. I just want you to sign me for another year. And they wouldn't do it. So that's why he's pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gronk's confusing the two. He wanted to do keg stands. So there you go. There's that thought. Right to your phones on everything, I promise. 90 seconds, no commercials. I want to tell you that Greg Bedard is sponsored today, as he is every week, by Jarvis Ford. As John and Michael Jarvis like to say, honesty, integrity, and family. It's not just how we do business, it's who we are. Jarvis is just off Route 2 in Ayer. Again, Jarvis Ford, great dealership there. Sponsors Greg Bedard. We continue with him and your calls, I promise. Right after the update, no spots here.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.